Welcome to Greece and to the ancient city of Corinth. When Paul arrived here on his second missionary journey, he had been having a pretty tumultuous time. Flogged and imprisoned at Philippi, fled from Thessalonica in peril of his life, and he'd had to flee again from Berea. And in Athens, his message about Jesus had been mocked and ridiculed. He was discouraged, and he seems to have moved on here in a mood of dejection and apprehension. In Paul's day, Corinth was another ancient and very great city. In classical Greek times, the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, towered high above the city on the summit of a rocky peak. From there, the temple prostitutes would descend at night to ply their trade in the streets below, making Corinth a notoriously immoral city. This blatant wickedness was to prove the greatest challenge to his courage and preaching. Its very position made Corinth a key city. Greece is almost cut in half by the sea, and Corinth stands on the narrow neck of land less than 5 miles across. Today, the Corinthian Canal, built at the end of the 19th century, carries shipping from east to west, while the north-south traffic crosses it by bridge. So Corinth's position was strategic, with trade from north, south, east and west passing through. And what variety was on offer! Its markets could have been stocked with Arabian balsam, Egyptian papyrus, Phoenician dates, Phrygian slaves, to name but a few of the attractions. They'd all have been housed in the vaulted shops. There's one here still standing. Corinth was really at the crossroads of Greek and international trade. Paul must have immediately grasped its strategic importance. If trade could radiate from here in all directions, so could the gospel. But the evil influence of the Greek city lived on in this its Roman successor. It was associated in everyone's mind with immorality. But Paul was to summon the Corinthians to repentance and holiness, and to warn them that the sexually immoral would not inherit the kingdom of God. What a task! And right after his daunting time in Athens. But Paul devoted himself to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was their Messiah. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking and don't be silent. For I am with you and no one is going to harm you, because I have many people in this city." But Paul still encountered the same stubborn resistance that he'd met in all the other cities too, and it led him to take a drastic step. He shook out his clothes in protest and he told them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." But Jewish opposition erupted again, and they brought Paul before Gallio, the new proconsul. He probably sat on the massive stone platform in the marketplace where I'm standing right now. In front of it, there's a wide pavement on which the angry leaders of the synagogue crowded round Paul. The Jews phrased their charge to look like one of treason. But Gallio made a decision not to hear the case any further, and he had them all ejected from court. His refusal to take the Jewish case against Paul seriously was immensely important for the future of the gospel. In effect, he passed a favourable verdict on the Christian faith, and so he established a significant precedent. The gospel could not now be charged with illegality, because its freedom as a permitted religion had been secured as the imperial policy. As a result, Paul was able to stay on in Corinth for a full 18 months, enjoying great success. And it's here that he began writing letters to Christian churches in other places. It's from here in Corinth that he wrote twice to the Thessalonians, and these are probably the earliest existing letters of Paul. And so he finally left Corinth and set sail homewards at the end of his great adventure. His invitation to faith in Jesus as the Son of God has resounded down through the centuries, and countless millions from every nation, tribe, people and language have come to put their faith and trust in him.